We're going to turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15. You'll find it on page 1072 in John chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 18 through 27, but we'll focus on verses 26 and 27. This is the third promise in this section of John, beginning in verse chapter 14, where Jesus promised this gift of the Holy Spirit. So remember, Jesus is preparing his disciples here for his departure. We saw last week how Jesus promise that his ascension will be for their good. And here, he promised that the work that he has begun in teaching them will continue and actually expound through them only because he sends this other helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. Let's hear God's word. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated me, and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because I have been with you from the beginning. This far the reading of God's holy word. You'll be helped just to leave your Bibles open as we listen to God's word. Jesus is about to leave and departures can be extremely emotional. I know some of you have moved from other parts of the world, and so you have some inkling of what it means to say goodbye to people that you don't know, you may never see again, and you don't know when you will see them, if you do. That brings out a lot of confused emotions. And Jesus is here saying goodbye to his disciples. And he's saying goodbye to them, but they don't want him to go. And it's not merely that they desire him to stay. All of their future hope was built around him staying. They thought he was going to now establish God's kingdom right here. He will sit on the throne of David. He will cast out the Roman rule. And they're going to be riding with him in this earthly triumph. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, that's not going to happen. That's not God's plan. It's way different than what you think. Their expectation is all shattered. In this departure, they need to reconfigure life itself. Because Jesus' purpose and God's plan is not as they thought it was going to be. And here Jesus says, not merely I am preparing you, but he says you will receive help. Help when I go away. The very help you need for what I call you to do. Jesus is calling his disciples to be his witness here. But notice, they must do it in a hostile world, a world that hated Jesus, and a world that will hate them because they hated Jesus. I don't know about you, but if you get offered a job and you get told it's going to be extremely frustrating because nobody will work with you, everybody will work against you, you don't really have power to make people do anything or hear you. That doesn't sound like a good job offer, does it? Jesus is realistic. And therefore he promises disciples the help they need. And so we see how Jesus prepares his disciples to be his witnesses by sending the witness of the Holy Spirit to them. Now that's where we need to begin. The promise of the witness of the Spirit of truth that Jesus will send. Now, there's something remarkable in this promise, because notice what Jesus says. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, I will send to you from the Father. Here Jesus is saying, I am the one who assures that this helper will come to you. I will send him. Now, why is that remarkable? Well, come with me to John 14. And here, the first two promises of this helper. John 14, verse 16. Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Who's giving the Holy Spirit? The Father will give him And then, once again in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Do you hear? Both those promises make clear that the Father sends the Holy Spirit, but here Jesus says, I will send him. Now, there is no conflict here, because the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit indwells one another. And what the Father does, the Son does. But now do you see, I mentioned to you last week the importance of the Trinity for understanding, for the encouragement Jesus gives his disciples. And here it is, this whole Upper Room sermon, his last instruction to his disciples, is filled with this mystery, which reminds us that for Jesus, the union between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the marvelous relationship, is not irrelevant to life. So often we treat the Trinity as though, because it's mysterious and we don't get it, it's useless. But it's not. Jesus is saying that to understand life without me, you need to understand this marvelous relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And notice, the emphasis is really that all of God, all of who He is, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is working together. All of God is working for our good. How can the church continue to exist when there is such hostility in the world against Christ and the witness to Christ? Because the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is working. And so it is the power of God that assures the future of the church. And here Christ wants to underline to his disciples, he might be gone, but he will send the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, we are told that Jesus, when he ascended, received from the Father the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he poured out that Spirit. That's how Peter explains to them what they're seeing in these strange signs and the men talking in all these voices. He makes very clear that what they see is the Son's gift poured out. This is how Peter put it. Jesus, this Jesus, verse 32, Acts 2, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at God's, at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Jesus is here in John pointing to this moment. I will send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth. And now, Jesus knows this reality is not uncertain. And that's why he says, but when, not if. There's no uncertainty there. It's not if the helper comes, but when he comes. Jesus knows that all that he will do in his death and resurrection will assure that when he ascends triumphant to the right hand of the Father, as God's Messiah, he receives the right to pour out the Spirit upon his church. Now he calls the Spirit of Truth the Helper, the Paraclete. The paraclete, this is language that comes from the court. It's the language of an advocate, one who comes alongside of you to defend your cause. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you one who will be in you, who will stand alongside of you, who will defend your cause. He is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. Which means that what he will bring home to you is the truth of God. He will affirm it to your hearts and minds. Now we'll look in a moment at how he works this out in their lives. But notice, Jesus underlines that this Spirit comes from the Father, who proceeds from the Father. And it's here that Jesus emphasized that the work of the Holy Spirit, his mission here on earth, is exactly what the Father purposed. There is no conflict between the Father and the Spirit and Christ. They all work together. The Spirit is sent by Christ. He proceeds from the Father. There is a perfect harmony between what the Father has purposed and planned and what the Son has accomplished and what the Holy Spirit will apply. Notice, he will bear witness about me. The testimony of the Holy Spirit is to show us Christ, to lead the church into the riches of all that Christ has done. I don't know if you've driven past our church at night. You see the spotlight illuminate the cross on top of the sanctuary. And you can see the cross clearly because of the spotlights. And that's a picture of what the Holy Spirit does. You know, so often it seems like the Holy Spirit is missing or incognito. And it might seem like we underestimate his presence and his work. But you see, the whole point of the Holy Spirit is not to point to himself. He doesn't testify to himself. He doesn't speak about himself. He points to Christ. And so where Christ is honored, where Christ is exalted, there the Spirit is at work. That's the question, really. Is Christ truly exalted and witnessed to? That's the Spirit's work. Now, Jesus is promising this present work of the Spirit that will bear witness to him, to his disciples. How will they be heard? Now, you know, one of the most powerful testimonies to the significance of the presence of the Holy Spirit is in what happens to the apostles, the disciples. When you read the gospel accounts, even we saw just last week what Thomas and Andrew said, we know Peter is often not shy to reveal his ignorance. We see these men have hardly any understanding of what Jesus is doing and who he is. So how is it that they go from that bumbling group to the men we meet in the book of Acts, courageously, boldly preaching the truth of Christ? How did they get there? How did Peter get so bold to stand before all in Jerusalem when just 2 months before he denied Christ, when he was all alone? But here, not even the crowds scared him. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's his presence that emboldened them. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, the Spirit of truth, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness. You see, Jesus is saying that I am not asking you to do anything in your own strength. Now, it's very important. The you here is not you all, but it is you, my disciples. It is the special privilege of these men to be the foundation upon which the truth of the gospel rests, and you will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is telling his disciples here that their special role and importance for the church rests upon this gift of the Holy Spirit to them. If you think about it, how is it that these men who were so confused suddenly changed? But how do they remember all that Jesus taught and said? I don't know about you. Maybe your memory, I hope your memory is better than mine. But I don't even remember sometimes sermons I preached just the other day. Some of the scariest moments is when I'm visiting someone and they tell me of a sermon I preach and I don't remember. They know it better than I do, which is, I'm thankful, the result of the Holy Spirit and not my work. But think about these disciples. To be a witness about Christ, to reveal the truth. But Jesus told them, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth. So he promises them the Spirit that will be with them forever. And then in verse 26 of chapter 14 he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. They bear witness to Jesus, and their witness is faithful and true because the Spirit of truth has come upon them so that they remembered that that's why we read in the Gospels. John would do this often. They did not understand it then, but now they know. This is what he meant. They know the truth because the Spirit has come. And why is that important for you and me? Because the work of the apostles is the foundation work. This book, this Bible rests upon their testimony. We cannot understand or know Christ's work except what they have revealed to us and recorded for us here. Now that is crucial for us because we have all kinds of ideas and theories out there that wants to tell us that this is merely a human book. That it's not to be trusted. Some years ago, there was a lot of noise around the Da Vinci Code that floated some liberal theories that the Bible is all the concoction of men and not God's word. No. How can you and I be sure? Because Christ has promised us the Spirit of truth. And that's why Peter in 2 Peter 1 verse 20 will tell us that no prophecy of Scripture came about by a prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit who inspired these men. And so Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is breathed out by God. It is given to us from God, and therefore is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything you and I need is given to us in this word. And we can trust it. Why? Because Christ has given the Spirit of truth to help and bear witness to Jesus. And that witness is what inspired the witness of the apostles. And it's in this light that we confess that we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church, a church resting on the witness and testimony of the apostles. Now let me ask you, do you take this book and read it as it is? Spirit-breathed, given to you and to me to equip us to live for God's glory? Do you read this book as though your life depends upon it? Job would say, the word of God is better than my necessary food. Now, I don't know if it's just in the churches that I've ministered, but food's very important. We don't do anything without eating. But the question is the word of God even more important than that food? That's the challenge to us, isn't it? You see, we may confess the truth. And I've often thought about this. We live in, when I read the stories of the Reformation, I'm always amazed at men who would give their lives to just read the Bible. Young men, 17 years old, caught in England for having a Bible and reading it in English, and willing to give their life rather than give up the Word of God. Now that's for you, men. The seriousness of the faith professed. But then we live a day and age where we have Bibles of all size and sorts. You get the green Bible, you get the women's Bible, you get the men's devotional Bible, you get the army Bible, you get the left-handed Bible, the right-handed Bible, all, whatever your fancy is, you can find a Bible. It's as though the devil is taking the word of God from us by just giving us so many Bibles. But we have stopped reading it as though our lives depend upon it. Let us not lose this gift. The witness of the apostles is the witness that gives us the truth that Christ and Christ alone has accomplished all of our salvation. Pick up and read. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have not left us as orphans, Lord Jesus, but that you came to us in your gift, of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have not left your church to the mere devices of men, but that you continue to work. And we realize that without your presence, all that remains will be empty word. But by your presence and by your work, your living word conquers stubborn hearts, brings our minds the light we need to see the glory of Christ. And so we thank you today for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would work in us. Continue to show us the glory of Christ. Awaken our hearts and souls to hunger and thirst for the Word. To know that in this Word, you yourself come and rearrange our hearts and lives. Take the deadness, the dullness, the boredness with which we so often read your word. Take it from us. And may we see the blessing of this great and glorious gift. And we pray for your church throughout the world. Give that your church may be rooted in your truth. May your church flourish. And may the witness to the glory of Christ reverberate around the world, not only today, but to the end of the age. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.